everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Gio Cagna. With me, as always, is Eric Schlipp from PrideOfDetroit.com. Eric, you're not. I am the most lazy podcaster in the Detroit area over the last month. You've been on completely, but we've been on hiatus for over a month now.
Well, you know, combination of work life and personal life in summertime, and it's easy to get lost in the and doing your everyday things, and time slips away a little bit. But I'm you know, it's, if we're going to take a little time, this is it, because there's not been any news coming out of Allen Park since since we last talked. So it's nice. I think it's a good time for us to, you know, reconnect, relook at where the roster is, and get another podcast out there.
Now, that, as I was pointing out to you before we started, that I was reading a physical newspaper on Sunday. It's a rarity that people do, but I still do it on occasion. And there was in the sports section, there was not one story about the Lions on Saturday. Nothing. On Sunday. Just a barren wasteland. It was all Tigers talk, which is, you know, fine as they flounder their way through their season, but
right,
it's going to ramp up soon. You know, we're only a couple of weeks away from training camp beginning.
Yeah. It's like the majority of the beat writers take the summer off, which is standard, right? Like that's always kind of how it's been. They'll have a couple of articles that they'll pre-write that the newspapers will publish when they want, but really it's the only place that's, you know, putting out consistent news are the blogs. And so we've got 2, 3, 4 articles a day over Pride of Detroit, and we're doing a roster series where we're going through and looking at where players are and where they were going, and but it's a slow period, right? Like it's the roster review stuff is fun because it gets a chance to look at where the, you know, where the players were and, you know, where they're headed. But, that's kind of what we're going to do today. Bringing back the old staple article that I used to write that I haven't written in a couple of years because we've done it on the podcast the last couple. And that's the roster stack where we take a group, the whole 90-man roster, well, 91 because of the international player, right? So we take all 90 players and we drop them into different categories. Now, this is different than a 53, but you're going to have 53-man roster elements to it. And if you've never listened to or you've never read an article, my roster stack article, essentially we're going to break the players down into a few different categories that will determine that represents our view of where they are long term, as opposed to like, will they make the team this year? It's going to be, where do they fit in the long term plans for the organization? So there's going to be players that are going to have big roles in 2023, but maybe aren't part of the long term future. So they'll fit into a different category than a player who, you know, is both, or a player that maybe doesn't have a big role now, but is expected to have a bigger role in the future. And so we're going to slot them into these different categories, and we'll get a chance to look at, you know, where they are in the team building process and where they are with their roster, and you know, see if there's any holes left. And it's a fun exercise to get a grasp on where the organization is as a whole.
So we'll start the roster stat right at the quarterback position. That'll probably be the easiest one for us to go through. And we're going to start right at the top with one Jared Goff. And okay, go ahead. I was going to say, this is going to be the easiest one.
Let's explain the categories. The first category is impact players, right? So the impact players are essentially guys that if you took them off the roster, because if they were injured or whatever, they would make it would drastically impact what the team is able to do on a given week, right? So these are guys that
Jared Goff.
Right. Well, and we're, and so, right. Good.
That's
so right
where off he'll the end bat, up being, but keep going.
No, right. And so we would put Jared Goff in that situation because the drop off behind him is significant enough that it's right, exactly. So The second category is core players. Now, this is like your foundation of the roster. This is a, these are players that are going to play weekly roles, and they're going to be part of the long-term future of the team as well. This is, these are players that if they're not impact players, they're still players that you're building the roster around. Third category is projected starters. This is essentially guys that are going to hold a starter role, but their future is a little bit unsettled. So we're not exactly sure where they're going to be beyond 2023. Role players are just that. They're guys that play a specific role, and they're going to probably going to make the team because they play this specific role. And so if we're a lean towards them being in the team, they might fit in that category. The last category of guys who we think will make the team, we call depth spots. That's basically guys who we think are going to be like in the back end of the roster who are going to make it because of special teams or you know, they happen to be higher on the depth chart than other guys. And that'll kind of be the end of the 53. After that, we have two other categories for guys that aren't in our 53. One will be in the hunt, which means they're guys that could potentially flip-flop with depth spot guys or role players. And then the last category is they have work to do. The work to do guys are guys that are, you know, not expected to make the team, but they could surprise. A good example of that is like 2 years ago, Jerry Jacobs was in the work to do, but he goes into camp, he works his way up, he builds his resume, he gets in the hunt. Then after that, he gets into it and he earns a depth spot on the roster. And then he starts working his way up from there. So Jerry Jacobs is a great example of a guy that we didn't think was in the mix 2 years ago at this time, but he built his way in. So that's kind of the categories that we fit in. We'll kind of explain them a little bit more in depth. Just so the listeners know, we don't, this isn't pre-done. Like, we're going to do this kind of live as we go. So Joe and I are going to talk it out as we go. I don't know what the end result will be, but hopefully we'll have a nice idea of where the roster kind of sits. So Joe said right off the bat, Jared Goff, impact player. I agree with that. He's under contract for two more years, and he is, if he were to go down, the team would be in trouble.
They're done.
Yeah, and based on how he played at the end of last season, you can definitely make the argument that he's a guy who had a very positive impact on where the offense went. Whole offense is designed around what he does. So I think Goff in as an impact player makes some sense.
So next up on the list is Nate Sudfeld.
So for Nate, I think he is a role player.
Okay. I would disagree with you.
Okay. So tell me, go ahead. You tell me where you would slot him and then we can talk about why.
He's not on the fringe because Hendon Hooker won't be available at the beginning of training camp or beginning of the season, right? But he's depth to me. He doesn't play a role on the team. You could argue plays a role on the team because he's Goff's backup and he's going to play
if
Goff gets hits. But for me, it's like, well, he's just on the team because they have to have a backup for Jared Goff, and that's why he's depth.
Well, I think he adds some elements to his helping Goff prepare.
Helping Goff prepare. This is something we've learned over the years. Like, remember, this is something we wouldn't have talked about 15 years ago. It's like, well, the backup quarterback's
10 years ago.
It's there to help the quarterback and the starter prepare. It's like, and now all of a sudden, it's like they're some sort of genius that's just, you know, in the quarterback room reading coverages. Helping him study.
When we talked to Brunel said that Sudfeld was the perfect QB2 because of his ability to prepare Goff and adjust during live action during the games and stuff. And so I think Nate is going to be the guy. He's not as talented as Hooker, but he's definitely I think he's a role player. Role player depth, they're close enough. I'm not going to quibble over that. I'll slot him in depth.
Right off the bat.
I'll give in to you. But I still think his spot is solid, but I would understand people saying that maybe his spot is tentative if Hendon Hooker all of a sudden is ready to play,
If Hendon Hooker was healthy, would Nate Sudfeld even make the team?
Well, I think he would. I think he would because of that ability to help Jared Goff, right? Mm-hmm. If this team's going to be successful, you need Jared Goff to be as good as possible. And I think Nate Sudfeld helps Jared Goff be work at his best. I don't know if Hooker can help elevate Jared Goff's knowledge. Maybe he can. Maybe he can. And I'm just, we don't know enough about him, right? He's got to learn. Hooker is still learning the system. He's still adapting to the NFL. And so he is more talented. Don't get me wrong there. I just don't know if mentally he's where Nate Sudfeld is right now in his career. And so I'm a little bit more in the category of, I think Nate's going to make the roster regardless of what happens to Hooker. So where would you slot Hooker?
Well, ooh, I guess he's, yeah, well,
it's tough
he's an interesting case because he makes the team. There's no question that he's going to make the team. They're not going to lose unless he does something ridiculous, you know, that like, like that's a legal issue that they have to get rid of. But other than that, like, he makes the team. And then I guess it's really, what is he, a core player because he's a part of the future of the franchise?
Right.
He's not an impact player because he's not going to play this year. But
right. And that's where it gets tricky because, like, is quarterback two next year, assuming he's going to be quarterback two? Like, we all assume he's going to be healthy. We all agree that he's better than Sudfeld talent wise. But even then, is quarterback two, assuming that Goff is still around, a core player? Like, would you consider quarterback two? Like, and then, so that's why I think maybe we do slot him in as depth and just kind of call it there. At this point,
now I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Please.
He's a role player because his role this year is to learn to be an NFL quarterback.
That's true. But I don't think his role. But I don't know.
But he's not going to come out onto the field to
be the role type of player. Yeah. So at this point,
I'm a depth.
At this point, we have three guys on our 50, all three of these quarterbacks on our 53, but there's a wrinkle here. Hooker may start on the NFI, and if he's not healthy, they may keep him on the NFI, which means he may start the season on the NFI. So when we're kind of keeping track here, this is actually not like three guys. This is like two and a half. And so if we think Hooker is going to start on the NFI, he actually won't count towards our 53-man overall count. So do you have a lean either way, or do you want to make that decision like later? Because the Lions might actually make that decision later. Like, he may be healthy for preseason game three, and the Lions are going to be faced with the decision of, do we just keep him on the NFI because we want him to just learn in the classroom for another 2 months? Or do we activate him and then burn that, and then he's going to cost us a roster spot? So we can make a decision now. We can make a decision later. Because I think the Lions are going to have to make that decision in camp as they go on the fly.
Well, then I'd leave him on the roster. Because it's plausible that he's ready for week three of the preseason.
Sure.
So, but if they leave him on the NFI list, that he has to stay on it for another 2 months, meaning he wouldn't be available till week six or week seven,
week five.
That makes me think a little different. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, but then again, he'd cost a spot on the roster if you were to activate him. But go ahead, what were you saying? What if Goff goes down?
If Goff goes down in week one against Kansas City, and Hendon Hooker is ready to play, but they keep him on this NFI list so they can keep a roster spot open for, you know, somebody else and have Sudfeld as the backup. Now we're playing with Nate Sudfeld for weeks two, three, four, and five, while Hendon Hooker's just not available because they can't do that would draw a lot of criticism, but at the same time, what are the odds of that? Now that I said, what are the odds of that?
No, it's not. It's not going to happen. But that Hendon Hooker's spot does make availability or inavailability makes Adrian Martinez's spot interesting, because I don't think you're necessarily going to keep Martinez like as QB3. But I do think Martinez is the guy that you may want to keep on the practice squad just in case Hooker's not ready and you have an injury to Goff or Sudfeld. So I don't think Martinez is like out or anything like that. I do think he's behind where like Sudfeld and Goff are. He's not there yet. Right. But they went after him. He was the only quarterback they went after. They haven't had another free agent. So obviously they like things about his talent. But for me, I can't put him on the 53. I don't even know if I can call him on the fringe at this point. I think he's more ticketed for the practice squad. I do think he's a work to do guy. And maybe he can prove me wrong, but to justify a spot on the 53, if Hooker's out for Martinez to earn a spot on the 53, that'd be a big deal, because that would be taking a spot from another position, and that would be tricky. So I agree with where we're at there. All right. So David Montgomery, we're going to shift the running backs here. Montgomery, I don't know why I'm blanking on how many years he signed for.
3 years, right?
Three years, 18 million. Right. Okay. So now when you're at 3 years, now you're in the core player tier. You're either a core player or an impact player. Maybe you're a projected starter, but if you got a 3-year contract, for me, I think you're more in the core player. Would you call Montgomery core, impact, like projected starter? Where would you place him?
I have him as a core player.
I agree. The 3-year contract makes him a core player. I don't think, because he's going to split touches and stuff, like he's not, you can kind of survive. You should be able to survive if he gets injured, but I think he's better than just an average projected starter. He's someone that they're going to want to build the offense around. Right. And so, yeah, I agree. He's a core player. Now Gibbs, it gets a little tricky because Gibbs technically isn't going to be a starter. I mean, he can be co-starter essentially, but he's going to probably play close to like starter level snaps for a running back. They want him to have an impact, but I don't know if I could classify him in an impact category because he hasn't played a snap, and he hasn't played a single NFL snap. So for me, I'm in the core category with him again. I have kind of both backs in that section. I don't know if you disagree or have him somewhere else.
Well, I don't know. You're right that we really can't have him as an impact player because we don't really know anything about him. But
right,
they made the move to kind of put them in position to draft him at number 12, right?
Yeah, they took him in the top 12. That's a big deal. Yeah.
And the expectation for him, and it's not like quarterback where he'll have to sit and learn. You know, there's going to be some of that, but it won't be nearly as intensive as being a quarterback is. If the offensive line is healthy, the expectation for him will probably to become an impact player.
Because I agree.
The way they're going to end up using him.
Right.
But you're right. At this point, I guess you would just list him as a core player.
I'm going to keep him core just because we haven't seen him. And yes, a year from now, can we bump him up? Absolutely. But for me, I just can't. I can't. We got to see it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right. Now it gets cluttered because now you've got a whole bunch of running backs competing for RB3. Now for me, regardless of which running back we have as RB3, I can't bump them up any higher than like a role player or depth, right? But I do think an RB3 is going to make the roster. Do you have a favorite for RB3 between Reynolds, Ibrahim, Jefferson, Bell?
I hope it's Ibrahim. I don't know why. Just and it's the same problem, right? We don't know him.
Yeah,
we don't. Sure, we know him from college. He was great in college, and then he got hurt. You kind of hope he's the player he was in college, and then they have a diamond in the rough. So that's just me being wishful, me being Eric optimistic. The third running back is probably going to be Craig Reynolds because he seems to be the most dependable, even though he's not very flashy.
I agree, and he was the only one of those four on the roster last year. Jefferson was on the depth chart. Bell was injured, and Ibrahim was in college, right? And so I do think Reynolds has the advantage right now because, again, we're not doing this on where we think it'll end up. We're doing it where we think they are. So would you consider Reynolds a role player or a depth player?
He's, well, what's his role? I mean,
he's RB3. Special teamer, RB3.
Well, I wouldn't call it, well, his role, but it's not like they bring him in certain situations.
Right.
He's a depth player. He's not a role player.
I'm with you. All right. So will they keep an RB4 or do we not know at this point yet?
Could Jason Kabinda be an RB4? Is that what that would be considered? Or
I would slot Kabinda as a role player. right? Because right. he's fullback, he's a special teamer, like yeah. he has specific duties that he does. So we're going to put Kabinda in at role player right now and then exclude him from the running back conversation, but just place him as a fullback.
Clarification.
So I at this point now, last year they kept four and Kabinda. Okay, so would they keep four again? That's the hard question. For me, my kind of gut is no. I think three plus Kabinda might be it. It's possible. Really? It's one of the last spots, really, for me. Like, and again, I wouldn't even know who to give it to. I wouldn't know if it's Ibrahim or Jefferson or Bell. Like, which guy? I don't have a favorite for that. In my mind, Ibrahim and Jefferson are kind of like on the fringe for me. They're right there, but I don't know if I can count either of them in on the 53 just yet. If you want to put one of them
I'm in from that.
Convince me into it. Okay.
They're both on the fringe. I'm a big fan of Ibrahim. Loved him in college. I hope it works out for him, but we'll see.
Now, Greg Bell, I think, is more talented than we're giving him credit for. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, again, he's an injured player. And the biggest champion that he had in the Lions organization was Deuce Staley, who absolutely loved him and pushed for him. And now Deuce is gone. Yeah. So I think Greg, I'm going to put him in work to do. If we see him flash a little bit more, maybe he moves up from there. But for now, that's kind of where I see him. All right. So let's shift to the receivers. We have, let's just start right at Amon-Ra. Pro Bowler last year, slot receiver, but he is as dynamic of a offensive weapon as we have, right? Or as we've seen, mm-hmm. right? Because, he obviously we just talked about what they want Gibbs to be, but Amon-Ra is, we know what he is. So I know where I would put him. I'm interested to hear where you would put him. And I want to see where we can go from there.
Well, I guess I would have him as an impact player because
me too.
When he was hurt last year, like the offense, although yeah. it was decent, it struggled more in those games for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a impact player for me. I think he is one of the players that the pillars that you're building this organization around. And 100%, he's one of the top, five to seven players on this roster. No doubt.
From fourth round pick to impact player.
Crazy,
in one
right?
year. Yeah, it was right in his first year.
Yeah. So now let's just go to J-Mo, the other first round pick. Lots of
you
big
can put
fans.
Him in work to do.
Well, the trick is he's going to be suspended, right, for the first six games. So he actually, regardless of where we put him, he's not going to count towards the 53 if we put him in that 53 spot. But I think he's going to be a starter eventually, right?
When he's available.
So, but I think he's, he's going to sit out 6 weeks. Then I think it's going to take him like a couple weeks to acclimate to like live game action. And so I'm expecting him to not be a starter until halfway through the season, which is unfortunate. But he is a very vastly talented player that they traded up for to get, again, a top 12 pick. So for me, I want to put him in projected starters, but he's not really going to be a projected starter. I kind of want to put him in core player because he's part of the long-term future, but I also want to put him in role player because that's how he's going to start, right?
That's where he's going to start
his season.
He's just going to be a deep threat and a gadget play.
So it's kind of weird to say, but.
And he's going to have to prove his way out of it too. It's not guaranteed that all of a sudden after 1 week, it's like, all right, he's going to get the full load.
Right. No. Like we expect him to earn a starting job pretty quickly, but Campbell is not going to just let him walk
they're not going to go easy on him, especially after last year. I have a feeling like, I don't know if they're too crazy about him at this second,
Well, I think they're just frustrated with his,
lack
not
of
being
maturity.
Lack of availability, I think is lack what of, it yeah. is. Right. He just hasn't been available to them.
Right.
Josh Reynolds, Now, Josh, for me, because he's in the last year of his contract, he's a projected starter, and that's
Wait, where did we put Jameson Williams?
And role players, Okay,
all right,
because that's where he's going to start. Yeah, he's going to start as a role player, and then maybe halfway through the season, that designation changes. But that's where kind of where he is right now, because he's not he's suspended.
No, I got it. We don't have to rehash. We're good.
All right, all right. Josh Reynolds for me is a projected starter. I think he's a guy who could be a potential role player, but on a 1 year contract. I don't know where he's at, but he's going to start. He's going to start all season probably, right? Like even when JMO comes back, Josh is still probably going to start. So for me, Josh fits into that projected starter category based almost solely on contract. I don't know if you disagree with that.
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Now, Khalif, again, last year of his contract, he's a starting punt returner. He's probably gonna get some starts, some starting reps with JMO out.
Right.
We're gonna talk about how I think Marvin is gonna be the starter, but like I still think he's probably gonna play maybe the same amount of reps as Khalif. So for me, I'm toying between starter and role player between Marvin Jones and Khalif, who are both in their last years of their contract. Or they both have 1 year contracts. So for me, one of Raymond or Marvin is going to be a projected starter. The other one's going to be a role player. I don't know if you think highly of one over the other, but one of them's going to be a projected starter for me. One's going to be a role player. You have a preference?
Okay. Yeah. Probably would be Khalif Raymond, which is kind of odd to say because Marvin Jones Jr. is a better player for his career. Right.
Yes.
But Marvin Jones Jr. is probably also nearing the end of his career.
Okay.
This is probably one of his last stops.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But at the same time, Khalif Raymond is a role player as a deep threat receiver and punt returner.
Yep. And gadget guy.
He might start. But at the same time, why are you going to have Marvin Jones on the roster unless he's starting at receiver?
Right. I think Marvin is going to be the technical starter,
right.
But I don't necessarily, I don't know if he's going to play more snaps than Khalif because the Khalif is such a multi-talented player. He can just do so many different things. I think their reps are going to be very similar. So I'm okay with either one here. I really am. I think it's splitting hairs because Amon-Ra and Josh are your starters. And then Khalif and Marvin are going to split that wide receiver 3-4 role. And you're probably going to have a wide receiver 5. And then when JMO comes back, maybe that makes 6 or maybe he takes over 5 role. We'll kind of figure it out. But for now, there's going to be a 5th receiver. And of the reserves that are left, Antoine Green, Tom Kennedy, Trinity Benson, Maurice Alexander, Dylan Drummond, and Chase Cota, the two UDFA guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite for wide receiver 5?
Well, it would be Antoine Green because he's a draft pick and they're going to give the draft pick every opportunity to make the team. Although he's a 7th rounder, right? So
yep.
And at the same time, you're barely a draft pick at that point, but it's got to be Antoine Green. We will see Tom Kennedy and Trinity Benson on the field at some point during the year and likely Maurice Alexander too. We're going to end up seeing all three of those guys in Lions uniforms, not in the preseason, but in the regular season at some point.
But
Antoine Green is the
I'm with you. He looked better in camp to me as well. He's a bigger body. He's smooth. He's got deep skills. Like there's things about him that I actually like better than the other guys to the point where I don't know if even how close any of these other guys are to him in my mind. I think he was that much better. But are we going to drop all 5 of these guys into work to do, or do you think any of them are on the fringe?
I would say Kennedy, Benson, and Alexander are on the fringe because we're going to end up seeing them. We saw them last year.
That's probably true. I agree with you on Kennedy for sure because he's going to go nuts in the preseason.
What work does Tom Kennedy have to do? We've seen Tom Kennedy for years. He's not getting any.
We know what he is.
We know exactly what he is.
Yep. So we know what he is. We know, but he's also we know where he's limited, right? Like, we know where, why he's probably not going to make the team, which is unfortunate because, like, he made one of the better plays last year.
Yeah.
He's
not a useless guy. No. But he doesn't add a lot.
He doesn't add much on special teams at all. That's hard for him. And he's going to look great in the special in this preseason. Again, he's going to get a ton of reps and he's going to destroy people because he's a great reserve. But is he talented enough to be RB or wide receiver 5 early in the season? I don't know. I think he's on the fringe for sure. Benson and Alexander, it's a coin flip on where they fit for me. So,
With Benson, that's a Brad Holmes thing. Like, he's a Benson guy. He has to be, but he hasn't gotten rid of him yet. And I don't think, because it doesn't seem like, I mean, maybe as time progresses, we're seeing more hubris with Holmes and Campbell. Maybe this is Holmes's hubris is with Trinity Benson, because he doesn't seem like he wants to admit he failed. And all general managers fail. They're all going to screw up something. They're going to screw up draft picks. They're going to screw up these trades. Like, this really seems like a trade he screwed up on. You know, like, they shouldn't have made the Trinity Benson.
They didn't get the value, right?
Yeah, they didn't get value for him. But, you know, so I don't know if he's got to stick with them, fine. But, or maybe he really sees something in him. Maybe they all see something in him. They're just not, we're not seeing it yet.
For me, I think Benson's value was as a speedy deep threat who could play special teams. And I think
Khalif Raymond.
Jameson
Williams, although he won't play special team, but you have these guys already.
Right. So for me, Benson he's got a tougher road. All right. So let's shift to tight ends. Let's just start with Sam LaPorta. He's the most talented. He's expected to earn a starting role at some point, whether it's at the beginning of the season or halfway through the season. He's going to be the guy who gets probably the most snaps. Like Jahmyr Gibbs.
He's the future.
Yeah, well, like Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm not ready to put him in an impact, right? But I think he could develop into an impact-type player. And I don't even know if he's a projected starter necessarily. Brock Wright might start the season. Right. But LaPorta's a part of the core. Like, this is a guy who they want to work around, right? They want to build the offense. They're going to have key plays designed for him. So for me, he's a core player. And I don't know how much of an argument you could make against that.
I'm in on core player. Yeah, there's no. Yeah, I'm not against it.
Now, I
hopefully
think
Brock, he's the full-time starter by week 15 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully sooner, right?
Well, hopefully sooner.
Now, Brock Wright, it's very possible where Brock Wright starts the season. So we could drop him into projected starter, but at the same time, he could also be tight end too. So then that would put him like as a role player. For me, I'm kind of on the fence on either a projected starter or role player. I'm actually comfortable leaving him at the role player status because I think that's how highly I think of Sam LaPorta. I think Sam LaPorta could end up winning the starting job right out the gate.
All right. Well, I'm all right with Brock Wright being a role player. And I would partially argue. So when it comes to the starting 11 we've talked about the value of being called a starter in the NFL now is kind of useless. There's all these different packages and everything.
Sure.
But, you know, traditionally that's how everybody talks about who are their starting 11, but really with the Lions, it's like a starting 10. And then that 11th guy,
it could be like four Jahmyr guys,
Gibbs, Brock Wright, or Marvin Jones, or, you know, like whoever that third receiver is, because they can come out
certainly
with two tight end. They can come out with two backs. They can come out with a different back. So it's really that they really have 13 starters on offense, but
You're going to be the same thing on defense too. You're going to have like 13 guys, right? Yeah. You've got three tight ends left, and for your tight end three, James Mitchell, Shane Zylstra, and Derek Dees. Do you have a favorite of those three? I know I do.
James Mitchell.
I think the big plans for him. You could slot him in depth. You could slot him in a role player. I'd probably be comfortable either. I know where I'm going to put him. I know where I want to put him. Do you have a spot that you want to put him, role player or depth?
I guess I would be depth over role player because he's the third tight end.
Yeah, on the same page with me again. All right. Yep. So depth for me. Do you think Zylstra can you know, make them keep four tight ends.
Yeah, keep good. Okay. At this point, yeah, I wasn't for the longest time, but as last year rolled along and we saw him a little bit, I'm like, yeah, he could be the fourth tight end of this team.
Do you think they keep him as tight end four, or do you think he's on the fringe?
Ooh, well, I guess he's on the fringe for now, but
for me, yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know if they'll need to keep four.
Well, let's take a look at where we're at. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 offensive players. That's not including Hendon Hooker, and we haven't done the offensive line yet. And the offensive line is probably going to take like nine or so. So the question will become, do they keep 24 or 25 players on offense? Traditionally, it's 25, but they've gone to 24 in the past when they've needed to have an extra guy for defense. And then, is Hendon Hooker ready? And so I think we should keep Zylstra on the fringe right now. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason we have an extra roster spot, he'll be a guy that we have a conversation about maybe bumping him up, right? Because if they only keep five receivers, oh, I counted Jameson too, so maybe he's not in that. So
Shane Zylstra is making the tape for me.
He might, right? Like if they keep receivers,
yeah.
Well, if they keep five receivers and three running backs, you can keep four tight ends. Like they're probably like there's going to be a conversation between, is it Shane Zylstra, Tom Kennedy, or Ibrahim, right? Like one of those guys might make the roster. But let's get to that. We'll get to that when we reassess. So let's put Zylstra on the fringe for now. And then I think Derek Dees is probably in work to do. He looked a lot better in the spring than he did in the fall. When he was in the fall, he did not look good. He didn't make the team, didn't make the practice squad. They signed him as a futures deal, and he looked great. He looked really good in the spring. So maybe he'll surprise me. I still don't know if I can move him past work to do just yet. So he's going to stay in that bottom category, but he is a guy that I'm keeping an eye on. All right. Offensive line.
Penei Sewell.
There's so many guys. Yeah, let's just pick guys and slot them in. So Sewell right off the bat. Impact player. Yeah, no doubt, right?
A lot of people disagree with us on this one, though. They don't think he's as good as we think he is.
Well, they're wrong. So Taylor Decker, is he an impact player?
If they lost him, it's big trouble. They don't have somebody they can just slot right in there.
I agree.
Which is crazy. I wasn't the biggest Taylor Decker fan for years. Now it's like, guy's one of the most impactful guys on the team.
I am with you. I also think Frank should be an impact player.
Yeah, now, although if they lost him, I don't think it's as big of a problem. Yeah.
Right. It's not as big of a problem as if because you're going from like Decker to Nelson or Ragnow to Glasgow, right? And so it's not as big of a drop off at center, but Frank is
a Pro Bowler.
Exactly. Like, yes, he is one of your, right now we have in the impact player category. Right now in our impact player category, we have last year, all four Pro Bowlers and Taylor Decker. Like, and that's how it should be, I think, to be honest. Yep. Speaking of Pro Bowlers, next starter is Jonah Jackson.
Yeah. And who knows what they're going to do with him?
Well, here's the thing. I think he's a core player, but he's got 1 year left on his contract. Yeah, so I don't think I can call him a core player because we don't know what his future is. So he's a projected starter for me, which is weird because like, I think he's such a talented player and I think he should have a future in Detroit. Or if I had a decision, I would give him a new contract, but with only 1 year left, he goes into the projected starters category for me.
Yeah, I'm in, right? For those same reasons. Like,
yeah,
you'd think they'd be able to lock him up because think about it, if they're able to pay Vitae, like they should be able to get rid of Vitae and pay Jonah Jackson, you know, as of next year, you know, like looking to the future. But all maybe Holmes thinks, well, we'll be able to find another guard.
Now, well, the thing is you might have to find two. Then right, because like if you have to replace Vitae, And then you might have to also replace Jonah. And I don't think they want to go in to the offseason having to replace two offensive guards, especially when your entire offense is built around the fact that your offensive line is dominant, is a top five unit. So trying to replace 40% of your offensive line when your offensive design is built around them being impressive, I just don't think you can get rid of Jonah. I don't think you can just let him walk. I think you got to you take Vitae's money and you throw it at Jonah, and then you either try and get Vitae in a lower contract, you return Graham at a lower contract, or you draft a guy high and then you try and then you start a rookie, because that's not unheard of. And if you're putting a rookie in at right guard between Pro Bowler Frank Ragnow and Pro Bowler Penei Sewell, like that rookie guard can be okay. But Jonah, for me, I'm not gonna move off this spot where I think they absolutely need to make him a priority. So, all right, off my soapbox there for a second. Let's go back to Vitae. Again, final year of his contract. I expect him to be a starter. I don't necessarily think he's a role player because I think he's going to win the starting right guard job. So for me, again, I put him in the projected starters category, and away we go. Are you comfortable with that too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think Graham or Kobe Soersdal can overtake Vitae? Cause I'm not in that boat.
Well, it's fine. We don't know. Maybe Soersdal's a revelation, but we don't know.
Yeah, maybe he's the future.
It's possible. That's out of Glasgow and Soersdal would be the one who would surprise us. You know, Graham Glasgow, once again, he's getting older. We kind of know who he is. And
I don't think Awosika is going to do it. I think Graham's the closest. Soersdal's part of the future. I know Pierschbacher was repping at center with the starters because they were giving Graham rest. So in OTAs in minicamp, they were resting Frank and they were limiting Vitae. And so to limit Vitae's reps, they were rotating him with Graham Glasgow at right guard. And then they were using Pierschbacher at center. And there's a lot of people that think, oh, that speaks volumes to the fact that maybe Pierschbacher is your backup center. For me, I still think Glasgow is going to be the backup center. I just think they also want him at right guard. And so they were giving him reps at right guard because he's a veteran. They didn't want to overwork him, and they kept things light. Pierschbacher, I think, is center three for me, but he was getting reps because the two guys ahead of him were doing other things. So I'm not as sold on Pierschbacher as some of the other beat guys are. We'll see when pads come on and they start doing other things and rotating and Frank starts playing a little bit more. But for me, I think Graham is like the next interior offensive lineman. So for me, like, I would put Graham as a role player. I think he's the sixth best offensive lineman.
That's why I would say he's a role player instead of a depth piece, because his role is to fill in for those three guys in the middle.
Right. So, and I think he can do all three too, right? He has starter reps at all three spots. So I think he's the primary interior guy. So if Graham's the primary interior guy, the primary tackle is still probably Matt Nelson.
He's got a role.
Yep. And I would put him as a role player as well. Now, I don't think he will get knocked off by Obina Azay, but I think Azay is going to push for it. And then we also have to talk about the fact that Jermaine Iafetti is in that conversation as well. Former first round pick. He could be a guy who could push Matt Nelson for the backup job. And so, starting reps at tackle and guard in the NFL. So Iafetti could be in that conversation. But for now, I think it's Matt Nelson. And now all of a sudden we have seven offensive linemen who we think are kind of locked into roles. Now, Soersdal is part of the future, right? We talked about that, right? We said that earlier. So, but I don't necessarily think he has a defined role at this point. So I think he's a depth piece, but I also think he's making the roster. So I think he's offensive line number eight, and he's going to be doing it. Okay. So now it gets tricky. Eight is the minimum. They're absolutely keeping eight because if you have eight offensive linemen, you get roster breaks and stuff like that on game day. So eight, you need eight guys active on game day. From a 53-man roster standpoint, though, you're not going to go over 10 because it just logistically doesn't make a lot of sense. So the question now for us becomes, are they going to keep 9 or 10, or are they going to stay at 8? For me, I think they're probably going to add at least one more. And if they're going to, do you have a preference of who it would be? Because we've already named four guys who I think are in that conversation. Awosika was a guy who they were high on and started one game for him last year. Isaiah is a guy that they've invested in last year and during the season as a on the practice squad last year. Pierce Bacher is a guy who was repping with the starters because, like, you know, he's the next in line. And then Iafetti is a former starter who can play tackle and guard. And he should be in that conversation as well. I don't know if I have I know one of those guys, one of those four is going to make it.
Well, so Ifedi, I guess I'd put him as the depth because if he doesn't make the team, he's just going to be cut. He's mm-hmm. not going to be put on the practice squad. They're just going to cut him loose.
Right.
That's the way I feel. I would say out of the four, he's the guy. I would.
You think he would?
83 okay. career starts. Wouldn't they give him the professional courtesy to be like, well, you can go try to find somewhere else to play because, you know, you're not one of our top nine. And
what's interesting is they've been using him at right tackle a lot in OTAs to the point where they were actually shifting Matt Nelson, getting him some reps at right guard as well. So they were trying to cross train both those guys inside and out, or like I said, Ifedi has that inside experience in the past. So you think Ifedi over Zay as OT9?
Oh yeah, I mean,
okay.
Zay, like, I don't have we don't know how much of strides he's made.
Correct.
Maybe you do. Maybe you saw something out of him.
No, because they're not wearing pads.
They're not in pads. Like, we don't know what happened during the season, that if he got a lot better. Because
exactly,
you know, everything we saw from Hard Knocks is, you know, and probably what you guys saw too, it's like he's not ready to be an NFL football player. He just has the overwhelming talent to be one.
Correct. Right?
They still have to develop him.
You know? Right. And they were using him at left guard and left tackle in OT in the spring. And so I just don't know if I can put him there. I just don't. I don't. I think the Lions would like him to be better than Ifedi, but like I don't know. So Ifedi has the better track record. I'm okay with him being OT9. Question is there going to be an OT10? And if it is, it's either going to be Awosika or Pierce Bacher. And so, do you think they're going to keep a 10 or no. Do you think that 9? Okay. So then I'm going to put Awosika, Pierce Bacher, and Zay all on the fridge. Yep. All of them. Cause I think they all could make a case to knock Ifedi out. Cause like Ifedi is like, he's not, there's nothing solidified about him. Right. Any of those four guys could make it. One of them is going to make it. Maybe two of them are going to make it. So I'm going to put all those guys on the fringe. I don't think Logan Stenberg is long for this roster.
No, this is probably it for him. Unless he really shows something.
He, for me, is they're trying him at center now. Like, and some of that was because Brad Cecil, their UDFA, rookie UDFA center, was not playing. And so they were using Stenberg at center because, like I said, no Graham was off, and then and Ragnow was sitting, and so Stenberg was like center two or whatever, like, but technically, like, he's four probably on the center four. Like, I don't know what he's going to do differently to sway my opinion. He had two shots last year to win a job, and he lost both of them, was even pulled at halftime from the second opportunity. Right. So I think he's in trouble. Darren Paulo is just depth at this point. I think he's just, that's what he is. Then you've got three UDFAs and Connor Galvin, Sabota, and Cecil. I think they're all on the work to do category. And then Max Piercer, is the international guy, right? And so I think he's probably in the work to do category as well. So
we're... But he's a practice squad guy because they get to just keep him, right?
Oh, yeah, for nothing.
Deal? Yeah, for nothing.
But I still think he's in work to do,
right?
To get to the 53, right? So I'm dropping all those guys in work to do, and then that will complete the offense. So for us, we ended up with 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, actually 23, probably, if you don't want to count Jameson or Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. So depending on Jameson, and well, Jameson won't count, and we don't know what's happening with Hooker. So we've got 23 offensive players. We can probably end up shifting one guy up. Right. I don't know who it's going to be, like
Shane Zylstra.
Maybe
with me hoping it's Muhammad Ibrahim.
All right. So we're rolling here.
Yep.
Defense. Let's start in the middle. Let's start
right
with
the middle Aline. With Aline right. McNeil.
Yep.
We're probably going to differ on this one.
Okay. I don't think they have another player like him. And he's definitely a starter, and I think he's a part of the core team. So the question for me becomes core or impact.
Okay. All right.
For me, I don't know if I can call him an impact guy just yet, but I think he's part of the core roster. And so he's a guy – I want him to be an impact player, and I think –
I know you do.
I think when you – if you lose him – it's a significant blow.
Well, that's fair.
But I think they have enough guys in the rotation and stuff that, you know, they can manage if they need to. And so for me, he's right in that core impact argument. I'm okay putting him in core. I want to see what you think.
Well, see, I'm just a projected starter when it comes to Aline McNeil. He does. So like in fairness to Aline McNeil,
okay.
Their rushing defense isn't so bad because of him, right? Other guys around him that aren't plugging the holes or not controlling the line of scrimmage, you know, but plugging gaps and doing all those things. But he's not also dominating games. Remember Sean Rogers, right? Sure. Incredibly lazy, but incredibly talented. And when he wanted to,
he was dominant. Was
the Seattle game, the first game of the regular season, the year after Seattle played in the Super Bowl, because they, you know, they came back to Ford Field their next game, and they won it 9-6 over the Lions. But Sean Rogers absolutely dominated that game for 60 minutes. Like it was right. That's why they only scored 9 points. They had 3 field goals. It was because of how good Sean Rogers played that day. That would be an impact player, but you couldn't even call Sean Rogers an impact player because it was so inconsistent. You know, because he was lazy, right?
Right.
Like, Aline McNeil can't even do that.
Well, that's he did against his game against the Giants last year. Was that
he had a good game?
Was one really, really good game?
It was one really good game. And although you would say, well, you only pointed out one good Sean Rogers game. It's one that really stuck out. He had other good games.
Sure,
but I don't know. I have more of his projected start. Like, if they lose, so if they lost him, they're still going to give up 180 yards on the ground.
Well,
like when there's nothing really changes. I feel differently about Aline McNeil than you do.
I don't think they have a clean three technique. And I don't know if they lose him, if they have another guy who can replace him. I also think they're pushing him into a leadership role this year on that defensive line, especially of the interior guys. They want Aline to lead that room. And so, yes, Isaiah Bugs was kind of that guy, but I don't think Isaiah Bugs is anything more than a projected starter, even though he has a 2-year deal. I still think Isaiah Bugs is kind of like in that projected starter role because he may not even be the starter. He might get usurped at some point by Broderick Martin. So for me, I think Aleem is the guy that they really want to own that room. I don't want to budge off core player here for me because I think he's part of what they want to build around. So
I'm fine with him being a core player.
All right.
And I also like people might be listening and be like, so you know, Joe brought up Sean Rogers of all people, and Ndamukong Suh played for this team, and he you know would control like they.
Well, he would have been an impact player.
No doubt, the second best defense in the NFL. And although, you know, Ziggy Ansah had it had all those sacks that season, and they had Nick better Fairley. Play out of their defensive backs, but it was Sue. You know, Sue totally died. Every team had a game plan because of Ndamukong Sue. That would have been the better. This is what an impact defensive tackle is. I better clear that up now.
All right, I mentioned Bugs. I think Bugs is the other starter. I think he has a leadership capabilities. He's got 2 years left on his deal. But I don't know if I can call him part of the core necessarily. I think he's more in the projected starter. He's more than a role player for me because I think he has some leadership. So I'd slot Bugs into the projected starter
role. Yeah, I got no argument with that.
Now, the rookie, Broderick Martin. Role player or depth for me? I do think he's going to be DT3. And he's going to be a guy that could eventually earn a starting role. Initially, my opinion is he's going to be the guy that they hope helps alter their ability to stop the run. I just don't know where I put him. I'm kind of on the fence that he could be a role player, but at the same time, he may just simply be depth. A depth guy.
Well, we have Matt Nelson as a role player
because he can be OT, like he can come out like as like a sixth offensive lineman. Why I think
that's a role.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I guess he's more like depth then.
That's the thing is I'm not sure if they're going to just rotate three defensive tackles or if they're going to have two and then they're going to lean on their edge guys a little bit more. I want Martin to be a role player. Like, that's what I want him to be one. I don't know. Does he fit there, though? Like, I don't know.
I'll say not yet.
Okay. Now, we're back to another injured player, Levi Onwuzurike.
He's got to be on the fringe.
I agree. And that's very sad for me.
That's because of his injuries.
Because of his injuries. Like, if he can stay healthy, he's up in depth. Yep, and he'll make the team. But I don't know. Like, technically, we may even be able to put him as depth because he may end up, who knows, being on IR or something. But, like, I think he's on the fringe. I think I don't know how to justify him not being in that spot. So we still only have three interior tackles, which may be it. That's all they kept last year was three. But one of those three that they kept last year was Benito Jones. Yeah. So I think Martin jumps Benito Jones in the pecking order. Now the question is Benito Jones worthy enough of being them keeping a fourth defensive tackle, knowing that he's their third nose tackle, right? Because it's going to be Bugs, Martin, and then Jones. And you don't really have anybody that can play a backup three other than like your edge.
Bugs can't play a bit. Bugs only played nose tackle last year. That's what I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
I mean, he situationally played three when the scheme called for the three. Mm-hmm. And he probably could play three, but remember, he's a Bama guy. Like, he's mostly this two gapping A'shaun Robinson type of guy. Like he's not your penetrating. He's got those skills, but it's mostly as an outcome of him two gapping. And so he's mostly going to be in that nose tackle type role. If Aleem gets hurt, would you move Bugs to the three and Martin to the nose? Probably. Right. But they don't really have a pure three. But it's by design, maybe, right? But I don't know if I can justify a spot right now and say Benito Jones is worth DT4 when in the pecking order, John Kaminsky might be DT4 and edge two. You know what I mean? Like a Pascal may be DT4. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, I have Benito Jones on the fringe.
We will see Benito Jones during the season, though.
He will
show up.
It's kind of weird, like saying that, they won't keep a fourth. The other guy that's in the conversation for me is DT4 is Christian Covington,
who has 102 games, 32 starts under his belt. You know, he's a guy with a lot of experience.
And in the spring, he was repping with the starters. Some of it was them taking it easy with Bugs, but Covington was a guy that they were using as their starting nose over Martin and over Benito Jones. So for me, I actually think he has a better shot of being DT4 than Jones, but I don't know if I can even justify him making the spot at this point, especially because we're going to get into like how many edge rushers they have and stuff. I want to put him on the fringe. And if we need to move a DT, another defensive tackle, we can have the conversation. But for me, I think they might just roll with three defensive tackles again.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. The two UDFAs, guys, we just don't know enough about them. The coaches spoke nicely of them and Chris Smith and Corey Durden, but like they are on the outside looking in right now. They're in work to do. Can they flash in camp and prove me wrong? Yeah, but we got to see it, right?
Right.
All right, so let's shift to the edge. We got eight guys on the edge and seven guys on the edge. No, I'm sorry. I was right the first time. Eight guys on the edge, seven of them might make this roster. Like, that's how deep it is, especially if they're only going to keep three defensive tackles. So let's just start with Aiden.
Impact.
I don't think we have to have any big conversation about him.
He makes another step forward this year.
One of the three pillars, Amon-Ra, Penasel, Aiden Hutchinson, those are your three pillars that the team is being built around. John Kaminsky is going to be the other starter, in my opinion, in their base set. Now, there's going to be situations where maybe he plays the same amount of snaps as like Romeo Okwara, and maybe Romeo actually gets a start or two here and there. But if they roll with the same defense they did previously and they use that closed end spot, John Kaminsky is the best one for that spot right now. Mm-hmm. He can kick inside. He can play that edge. Like, there's going to be times when you're going to see Hutchinson, Kaminsky, and Romeo Okwara all on the field at the same time, right? So, but for me, even though Kaminsky has a 2-year contract, he kind of falls into the same kind of category as Isaiah Bugs. He's probably going to be a starter, but he's not necessarily, you know, in command that he's going to be get starter reps every single week. He could lose that out to like a Romeo or a Josh Pascal. And so for me, I'm putting Kaminsky as like a projected starter category. And until someone else jumps up and takes that spot from him.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. Pascal gets tricky because he's a top 50 pick who's only in his second year. So you could say he's maybe a core player like Aleem, but at the same time, he might not even start. He may just be like a role player or a depth player if you're not sure where he fits. He could go in a lot of different places, right? Because Pascal he's just that. We have to know we don't know exactly where he's going to fit. I think he's behind Kaminsky, but it's possible he jumps him. I would lean towards the role player, depth player categories for Pascal.
Well, and I guess it would be a role player over because he would not a role player, a depth player over a role player, because he doesn't play a specific role. Which is a positive for him that he can play in any situation.
Yeah. But he's got to prove that he deserves a bigger piece of the pie at this point. Now, Romeo, former starter,
high end starter.
And he's a guy who may actually technically be the starter over Kaminsky if they award, you know, starting roles to veterans like they often do. For me, I think Romeo still falls. He's in a 1-year deal. I don't think he's going to be the starter. So for me, that puts Romeo in the role player, depth player category.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you have a preference? I am leaning role player, because I think he and Kaminsky are going to kind of split that starting role depending on the type of scheme that they have.
Yeah, I can't argue against that.
Okay.
Because he's more of a specific, especially you would think that's the way they would point him too at this point in his career.
Right.
You know, so banged up all the time. Just
right.
Have him do a specific thing.
Yep. All right. Charles Harris. Same thing. Like, I think Harris could end up being a guy. He could end up taking Romeo's spot. But I do think Kaminsky and Romeo are ahead of Harris. He's going to be a guy that is going to have some specific roles, but he's also going to have guys ahead of him. So I could lean role or depth. Yeah, it's possible. I don't think they will because the contract, it would cost more to cut him. Yeah. Right. But I don't know if I can bump him into him and Romeo both into depth. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would slot him. I'm going to slot him in depth. I'm sorry. I can't bump him Romeo into role. So yeah, Charles Harris, we're going to put in depth for now and see if maybe he jumps Romeo. You never, and takes that role. That's very possible. But for now, I'm going to give the edge to Romeo. Zach Morton, UDFA. Zach, he's got work to do. There's no way around it right now. He just, that's kind of what he is. It's a tough room. He can make a practice squad. Right. He's got some interesting talent, but he's got some work to do, in my opinion. All right.
For the definition of role player.
Yeah, the two hybrid guys. Yeah. James Houston absolutely is a role player. Could he be a core player?
That's what everybody's writing about, that he's trying to become more valuable and play on rundowns. But at the same time, like, you know, he's a one-trick pony as far as rushing the passer goes. If they ever figure him out, he might not even need him on a roster anymore. Hopefully that's not true. Hopefully he continues to develop. But
the thing with him is he has the ability to get low and stack his pass rush moves in a way that people really don't have the answer for. It's like Dwight Freeney type, you know, like he's got that ability to be so low that he's almost impossible for like big, tall offensive tackles to really get a handle on. So he's absolutely a role player for me, or a core player if you think he's going to take the next step. I don't know if he's taken the next step to being off the ball. I think he's headed that way. And you could even maybe justify him as a projected starter because he's going to be probably a starter in, remember earlier when you talked about the fact that there's going to be 10 starters and then one guy who could, and then like four guys who could fill that one role. I think Houston's in that conversation of being able, one of those guys that could fill as a potential starter. But for me, I'm okay with him being a role player for right now and see what happens.
Yeah, he's a role player.
Okay.
He's there to rush the passer until he proves otherwise.
The role player on the roster in his role last year before he got injured was Julian Aquara, who his injury opened the door for Houston to come on to the first side of the scene. So Julian has actually been taking the higher reps because that's what they do. They give the veterans the higher reps, but I'm not as sold on him, you know, being higher on the depth chart when it comes down to establishing the 53. So I don't even know. I don't know if I would put Julian on in role. I think he makes the roster, so that I would probably put him in depth. If you don't think he makes the roster, then he would go in on the fringe. I think he's going to make it.
I think he's going to make it.
Okay. So that's seven edge guys. So
it's fine.
And so when you add them with the D tackles, that's 10 essentially players that are going to play on the line of scrimmage. So that's fine. That leaves us 15 spots, actually probably more, 16 spots for the back seven. And first up in the back seven, let's just go right to Jack Campbell. First round pick, obviously part of their future. Like with our other high picks in Gibbs and Laporta, I don't think we can call him an impact player yet. I think he is probably going to, but you have to call him a core player. Like, I think you don't invest a first round pick if you don't think he's a core player.
Right.
It's going to have a tough road. He may not even be a starter, right? He's not even a starter right now. He's in the repping with the Mike on team two. That's an
earn their way up.
Exactly. He's going to, I think he's going to start. And I think he's part of their core that they're looking to build around. Now, Alex Anzalone is a tricky one because I think he's going to be a starter no matter what. They also gave him a three-year deal. That's the thing that gets me. Okay, so not a core player despite the three-year deal.
Okay. They just want a veteran. It's a veteran they get. I mean, I don't know.
I'm with you.
Because... I guess I kind of see core player a little differently than just because he's got a 3-year contract doesn't make him a core player. He's
there's an out good. After two. He's... No, okay. They like him. They like him a lot. Right?
I know they do. That's fine. You know, like he's not terrible, but he's not great.
All right. In spring, repping with the starters was Derek Barnes ahead of Jack Campbell. And so it was Anzalone and Derek Barnes. Calvin Shepard gushed about how the light has gone on for Derek Barnes and he is making massive contributions and that he is in the mix for a starting role.
Mm.
I don't know if I'm sold on that again. Put some pads on. Let me see him make live action reads and stuff like that. Because that's really his hang up, right? Is just he's needed reps in order to see what's happening in front of him. And so I need to see that first before I'm willing to call him a starter. Is he a role player or is he a depth player? That's what I don't know. Because he's making the roster. I don't know if he has like a specific role because he can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, he's a depth piece.
But we can call him a depth piece with roster, with who could potentially be a starter.
Right. Well, I mean, that's...
Is Malcolm falling in that same... Malcolm Rodriguez fall in that same category?
Like I know.
A depth guy who could potentially be a starter? Again, I don't think it's a role player. He could
potentially be on the fringe. I know people won't want to hear that.
No, they don't. Absolutely don't.
They brought in Jack Campbell, right?
And yes.
They are gushing about Derek Barnes.
And yep.
It seems, they committed to Alex Anzalone. So, like, where does that really leave Malcolm Rodriguez? Is he a special team stalwart? We're going to get to the next guy.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess you put him as depth, but yes. I wouldn't be shocked if something weird happens with him.
I think with Malcolm, his ability to diagnose the play and then react to the play is just at a level that I don't think you can cut him loose on that. For me,
okay.
I think he's still in the mix for a starting role eventually. But if Malcolm is your linebacker 3 or 4, I think you're in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reeves Maben is a special teams.
Is a role player.
Right. Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm not sure if they keep more than 5 linebackers off the ball linebackers.
Kept 5 linebackers.
Last year, they kept 6 off the ball linebackers, but it was 6 off the ball linebackers. And then, Julian Aquara, who then became James Houston. So they only kept 7 linebackers when you include the hybrids. And if we think James Houston and Julian Aquara are both going to make the team, then they may only keep 5 off the ball guys. And it's Campbell, Anzalone, Derek Barnes, and Rodriguez taking up 4 of those spots. So then while Jalen Reeves-Maben looks like a core role player, Anthony Pittman is a guy who's been a special teams stalwart for the last couple of years with this organization. And I don't even know if Reeves Maben is necessarily safe against Anthony Pittman.
Oh boy.
I think Pittman and Reeves, Reeves Maben and Pittman, one of them makes the team. And I think the other one is on the fringe.
The question is on the side of making the team.
Well, which one is it? Right. I want to figure out. Does Pittman make it over Reeves Maben, or is Reeves Maben's experience just so valuable that he's going to make it over Pittman? They're both dynamic special teams players and there's probably only room for one. Do you have a lean one way or another?
I don't. No, I don't. I've always liked Reeves Maben, but yeah, he hasn't been. And around, I think he wasn't around last year.
The reason he wasn't around last year was because Houston gave him a contract, right? Yeah. Like the Lions wanted him back, but Houston overpaid for him and then eventually cut him. And so the Lions swooped in and grabbed him as soon as they could. So it's a toss up, really, for me. I think special teams is going to define who gets the job. And it's possible both make it, right? And they keep 6 again. And then, but if they keep 6 off the balls, that could be bad news for Julian, to be honest. So I think Julian makes it, which means there's only room for Reeves, Maben, or Pittman. You're leaning Reeves, Maben. I'm split. I'm comfortable putting Reeves, Maben in the 50 as a depth piece, and then putting Pittman on the fringe. The UDFA, Trevor Nowosaki, he has work to do, because if we're talking, if we're debating this hard, you know, between Pittman and Reeves, Maben, can he jump them and then be in the conversation? Yeah, it's possible, but he's got to show me. And right. I just, you know, we haven't seen it. And we haven't seen him in pads yet. So he's going to fall into the work to do category. All right. Secondary. No, this is a lot of people. And so far, we've got 15 defensive spots taken up with the three position groups we talked about so far. So let's start right at the top. Cameron Sutton. They went out. They got him. They paid him a lot. He's going to be part of their group. Is he an impact player or is he core?
He's a core player.
Okay. He's not
one of the best 10 corners in the league.
Oh, okay.
If they lose him, I don't know. Is the pass defense going to take a really big hit? I don't know.
I think it could, but I also think they've got some decent depth. He's either in the core or impact for me. I think the fact that we haven't seen him yet, if we want to keep him in core, this is the biggest free agent contract Brad Holmes has given out to Cam Sutton. Mm-hmm. 3 years, $30 million, whatever it was. 33, right?
So, which isn't a giant free agent contract. There's a lot bigger free agent contracts out there.
Yeah. We've seen some in Detroit. But
yep.
This is the biggest one that Holmes has given out. So obviously they look at him as at least a core player, hoping he ends up being an impact player. The other free agent they went and got was Mosley. Again, talent enough to be CB1, coming off that ACL. It's hard to tell. Only a one-year contract. So I can't call him a core player because of that one-year contract. So is he the projected starter, or is Jerry Jacobs the projected starter? Because I think between those two, one of them is going to be a projected starter. The other one's going to be a role player. I'm actually okay putting them both as projected starters and calling them like co-starters, just because we don't know where Mosley's at from an injury standpoint. Right. Yep. So this is one of those situations where I'm like, you know, we talk about this all the time. You need three outside starting corners on your team. Right. And this is them. So are you comfortable? Are you comfortable, like me, comfortable putting both as projected starters?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, good. Well, that wasn't even a big debate at all.
No, I have no argument here. They're both gonna make the team. We're gonna see a lot of both of them.
Yeah, and either one can end up
impact players. Yeah.
Right. Gardner Johnson, Chauncey Gardner Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's next.
How many years?
I think he's give him. Just one. It was just one simple year. So it's weird because he's a guy who I wouldn't necessarily call a core player because he's only got the 1 year contract, yet he's at least a projected starter. And you could even argue he's going to be an impact player because he's one of the more talented guys on the roster. You also have some depth behind him. So it's a weird dynamic, like, because he actually like would skip the core player and go right to impact player potentially. I think he's going to make an impact as a leader. He's going to make but again, only 1 year left, only 1 year deal. It's hard to say he's part of their like long-term vision until he gets a new contract. So I'm in between projected starter and the fan in me is wanting to call him an impact player.
Right. Well, I'm an impact starter. I wouldn't put him not an impact starter. I'll put him as a projected starter, not as an impact player.
Yeah. I think he's going to have a big impact on the field. But again, this concept is designed to talk about where the team is for the future. Right. That's why the roster stack is designed with the future in mind. And we don't know where he's at. Now, Brian Branch is going to be Gardner Johnson's backup. They drafted him in the second round. He's not going to start, but is he a core player? Is he a role player?
I think at this point, he's a role player. They're going to use him very specifically.
I agree.
They're probably going to try to slot him into spots where he's going to succeed from the early, unless there's injuries right away, then he'll be thrown into the fire.
Right. I hate it too, because I think he's a core player that they want to build around, but I agree with you. If he's not starting, it's hard to put him into that core player category. So I do think role player at this point in his career is where it's at. He is part of that long-term vision though. All right. Will Harris is next on my list here. Will Harris is, he has a contract that basically guarantees he's going to make the roster. He costs more to cut than to keep. He can play outside. He can play in the slot. He has safety experience, but like, I don't know where he fits. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like he can play a lot of different spots, but he's not necessarily a guy that you're going to be like, I want to match Will up on this guy, and that's going to be his role, which you might do like with Branch. So Will Harris makes the roster, in my opinion, because of his contract, but I don't know if he's anything more than just a depth guy.
He's a depth guy. Spelled it all out there, Eric. He could play a lot of different positions, and he's a depth guy. He's not going to play a specific role.
All right. So let's finish off the starters. The other starters are Kirby and Tracy. You're starting safeties, right? The question is, where do you think those two guys fit? Is Kirby a core player, an impact player, just a projected starter? He's going into his second year, so you got him for 3 years still on that rookie deal. Right. So where does Kirby fit? For me,
I know you want to make him a core player.
At least a core player for me.
Three of his four interceptions were on the same guy who's no longer in the division, and they're not playing next year. It's true.
It is.
He owns it one is. Guy. You
know. He does. But I think his role and I think he's more than a projected player. He's more than just a projected starter. I think he's part of their long-term vision. And so for me, he's at least a core player, and that's where I want to put him. Tell me I'm different. All right.
Nope, I do not want him as an impact player. He's a core player. Okay.
All right. Trace. Now, Tracy, again, this is a guy who, when he re-signed his deal last year through 2024, so two more years left on his contract, they said, this is your team, Tracy. But then he gets his ACL, or I'm sorry, his Achilles, and he's worked his way back. But there's still, is he a guy that's a core player, or is he just a projected starter? I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I, again, have my opinion on where I want to put him. I don't think you can put him as an impact player, especially coming off the injury.
No. Yeah. He wasn't an impact player before the injury.
I think his leadership though is what makes him unique for me.
How many more years on his contract?
Two. He signed a 3-year deal, and the first year was Achilles.
We really got to see how his health's going to be. I don't know. I would be fine as a core player.
All right. Me too. I think they want him to be like a leader. And I think he's a guy that they have started building around. And I think that, you know, that's where he's going to be. I think that's the way they view him. All right. So now we are at 8 secondary players.
Two more.
Two to three.
Nine different guys.
We could do 2 to 3 more, because remember, if they go a little heavy, they could go 26 players on defense and 24 on offense, because we have the spots, right? We still have two open spots on offense if we needed them. So 2 to 3 guys in this secondary are going to make this team. And there's 4 corners and 4 safeties. Now, I want to make a quick argument for why I think they only keep 3 safeties. And it starts with the fact that Brian Branch and Gardner Johnson can play safety and slot, and Will Harris. So in my opinion, there's only going to be 1 safety out of that group of 4. And the group of four are Ife Melifonwu, Savion Smith, Brady Breeze, and then UDFA Brandon Joseph. I think one of those guys makes the team. And for me, it's not going to be the UDFA Brandon Joseph. I think he's too far back and he has work to do. But Melifonwu is probably the most talented and the one that they've invested in. Smith and Breeze are terrific special teamers. And Smith was a guy who started a game before he was injured.
Yeah, famously.
So, So I know which guy I'm leaning on.
I'm a Melifonwu guy.
Okay, me too.
Beast.
I think he is the guy that he's done some special teams work. And not he's not as talented as Smith or Breeze as in special teams, but he is a guy that is more talented as a defender. And so I think Smith is going to really challenge him, but I am still giving that early lean to Melifonwu.
And we'll see guys like, say, once again, with the injuries, you're going to see guys like Savion Smith and Brady Breeze playing here and there.
Yep. Now, for me...
Oh, I know who your other corner is.
Well, hold on. We have one or two spots, depending on if we want to go 25 or 26. Stephen Gilmore, Jaron Williams, Khalil Dorsey, those guys all have work to do, in my opinion. This is really down to two guys. Chase Lucas and Starling Thomas. Both of these guys are...
You love both of these guys.
I love both. I love both of these guys.
Like your two sons.
Well, Branch as well, right? But Chase Lucas and Starling Thomas are both guys who have a legitimate shot at making the roster as a defender, but they also both have legitimate shots to make the roster as special teams players. It's very possible this is your starting gunner tandem. If they both make the roster, I think Starling has starting gunner in the NFL written all over him. I think Chase Lucas can do it, and his upside on defense is just tremendous. So if we're keeping 25, and I'm having a hard time splitting my choice between the two, do you have a preference on which guy you think would be 25 and which would be 26? Or do you think both make the roster and they go a little heavy defense with 26 defensive players and 24 offensive players?
Well, I could see them both. It's hard, right? It'll depend on what they want to do against Kansas City. They're going to play it, and they won't even have 53 guys playing. It's going to be 46, right? Or 47.
Well, 48 if they can get the OL thing going. Right.
So I could go either way. I could see them both making it, sure.
I'm going to say let's keep them both because I think we have the spot. So if now, even though I said this could be your starting tandem, they're probably not more than depth guys. You know what I mean? Like, could you qualify them as role players because they're going to be gunners? Yeah. But for what we're doing, they're depth guys. Like they're guys that are going to provide depth and could actually be vulnerable to not making the roster at all. But I think you can make both. So at this point we have 23 offensive players, 26 defensive players, And we have three special teams guys to decide on, which means we can either start talking about those defensive guys or we can talk about which offensive player we can add to the 53 to make up.
The offensive guy I would add to the 53 is Shane Zylstra.
Okay. And it's hard for me to argue against that because I think the only guy – I don't think a receiver is going to be in the conversation. I think it's either going to be Zylstra or a running back. And for this roster, keeping a fourth running back or Shane Zylstra, I think is really where the conversation is. And I don't know if they would, if either Jefferson or Ibrahim are better than Zylstra at this point. And so I'm okay shifting Zylstra off of the fringe and putting him into the depth category. All right. So we have 50 offensive and defensive players. And now we're down to our last three specialists.
One of them, two of them are easy.
Jack Fox is in, no doubt, right? Is Jack Fox a core player or is he just a role player?
I was going to say he's a projected stay. He's a starting punter. So he's
okay.
A starter.
Yeah. That's all right. I'm fine. Well, I mean, are we going to put all three? All right, let's put him as a projected starter. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's true.
We have three kickers and two long snappers. Let's start with the long snappers just so we can have end with a good conversation. Scott Daly is the incumbent.
Then
Jake McQuaid is the former Pro Bowler who was brought in as a free agent. Are you liking Daly? You're liking Daly here?
Well, I forgot. McQuaid is a, I don't know. Maybe they.
No one knows. We have not been paid attention.
What were they? You didn't see anything? Like, did they use them both equally?
Yeah. They split reps. I did not. I was not able to differentiate their snap speed or accuracy because of where they were taking their reps. It was kind of like a wall of players in front of us. And so I couldn't really ascertain anything.
Well, let's stick with the incumbent, but we can be.
All right. So
you want to go with McQuaid? McQuaid if you want to go.
Daly is, I'm going to put him as depth though, because I don't think he's locked in as a starter. So I'm going to put, because he's not locked in as a starter.
Put them both on the fringe. Since you don't know, why can't they both be on the fringe? One of them,
because we
still want 53. Want 53 on the roster.
Exactly. So let's give the edge to the incumbent, put him as depth, and we'll put McQuaid on the fringe. All right. Kicker battle.
Yeah.
Badgley is the incumbent.
Yeah.
Romo is the guy who was a star in the XFL and they brought in
big leg.
And then Patterson was the guy that they had, but let go and ended up kicking a big playoff winning field goal in Jacksonville before Jacksonville released him because they signed McManus or before they traded him, they were going to release him. And then the Lions said, we'll give you a meaningless future draft pick that we may not even give you because it's all conditional based to get Patterson back in Detroit. They kicked in camp. Badgley didn't. I don't know if Badgley's dealing with an injury or if Badgley was just like the incumbent, so they didn't need him to kick in camp in spring camp. Romo has a massive leg. Patterson was started out rough, finished better, was the more accurate kicker down the stretch. So I don't know if you can separate between the two. And I don't know if either of them are better than Badgley, to be honest. So I'm willing to listen to a lean. If you have a lean one way.
Well, we were Riley Patterson guys back in the day.
We should
grow with the times.
So one of them's going to be a depth and the other two are going to be on the fringe because nothing is guaranteed right now. Do you have a guy? Do you have one guy? Do you think Badgley did enough during the season?
At this second, it would be Badgley.
All right. Patterson.
Badgley hasn't done enough to get himself kicked off this team yet.
So a reluctant Badgley vote for Badgley gets him on, and the other two go on the fringe. And that's it. And we're done. And so what we end up with is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 impact players. One of them is a defender. And that's it.
It lines up with the stats.
And honestly, guys, this for people listening, this is about where you land. You land at about 6 or 7 impact guys, and that's about it. Because that's when you build a roster, like you have depth guys that make the impact players. Like I think last year we had 7 impact players. This year we have 6. I think a lot of that is because there's better depth. So the drop-off isn't as significant. And so, you know, we put the 4 Pro Bowlers plus Decker and Hutchinson. And I think those are your top 6 guys on the roster, to be honest. Yep. Your core players that you're building around, that's another 8 players. So in your top two categories of guys that you think are like big important players on you every given week, that's 14 guys. That's a third of the, you know, not quite a third. Well, yeah, it's a little less than a third. So you're all right. That's okay. That's a good spot to be in. And then your projected starters, that's what, 11 in your projected starters, another 9 in the role players. And again, you're filling out your roster really well. The depth guys is really where the big chunk of the, of where we slotted guys lands. And these basically are just guys that are vulnerable, right? These are guys that maybe some of them might lose their job to a player who's on the fringe. And for your on the fringe guys, you know, we got 17 guys that are on the fringe.
Yeah, but there's, and we'll probably keep one fringe kicker on some sort of, it's really 15. I would argue that
okay.
One of
yeah,
the kickers,
yeah, yeah.
One sure. of the long snappers is going away. One of the kickers is going away, but I think they right. keep two kickers in some capacity.
Sure. Like a practice squad kicker. Absolutely. Yep. But that's kind of where change. Like,
there'll be a couple guys.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Like,
I don't know who they are yet,
but at its core, right. At like, when we're looking at what the roster is all about, there are probably 34 guys. Based on how we set this up, impact player, core players, projected starters, role players, that's 34 guys. That's 34 spots on your 53 that are no doubt accounted for. And so that leaves what, 19 spots open, right? And so you're going to have a QB2, you're going to have running back 3. Like those roles are going to be part of those like last 19 spots or whatever, but like, who is it? Who is RB3? Who is RB4? That's kind of undecided, but 34 guys as part of like what your core roster is going to be about. That's a good amount of players to go into the season with. So you've got 14 guys that are part of your long-term vision. You've got 34 guys that are part of your, core for this season in general. And it's a better roster than I think it's been in the past. And some of these guys that we have that we listed into the depth category, I think are going to be more important for the season, but maybe not as important long-term. Broderick Martin's going to be more important long-term, but maybe isn't going to be as impactful early. Like, and so like, it's an interesting collective of players that they have. And there's not really many starting roles open at all, but there are some fringe battles that will be fun to watch in camp amongst those like kind of last depth spots.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting camp. The everybody's flying high. Expectations are through the roof.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of excitement coming our way.
Well, I'm interested to see what, if anyone, people's reaction to this, what I'm going to do is I'll do a screenshot of where we ended up with this. And I will put it in our, on DetroitLionsBreakdown.com with our post of the article itself. So we always put up a post with the, that's announcing that the article is, or the podcast is available. And I'll put a picture, a screenshot of this up so that people can like look at it as we're going. This is probably one of our longest podcasts in a while.
Might be.
But I think, you know, we were off long enough that we needed to make up for it. So
we needed a hash back up.
All right. We've gotten some reviews too. I do not have them handy at the ready, but I know that they're there.
There's been a couple on iTunes that haven't had writing attached to them.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, but that's great. We appreciate it. And then on Spotify, I'm trying to check Spotify right now. That's why you can't hear me doing two things at once, which I used to be able to do, and now I can't. Well, up to 191 on Spotify, so that's a good sign. Nice. It keeps moving up.
I don't think we acknowledged like, I don't know if we said like SWAT 2, like on iTunes or.
Well, let's thank them. If they get two thanks, that's
Right. Yeah, no, thank you.
Wonderful reviews.
MJC 7006. That's a new one. Crazy Captain Nemo always updates their posts, which is always helpful, giving a new updated one. And I don't know if Striker J70 was thanked on our last podcast or not, but I know they probably should have been if they weren't. So appreciate all those. All right, I'm gonna take a breath here.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's not much else to say. That's pretty much it. We got the 4th of July coming tomorrow. I don't know if I was supposed to say that. I don't know when you were planning on releasing it. I'm sure it's
good. We're gonna put this out on today, on the 3rd. It's going out today.
And I know we had, so like the happy 4th of July to everybody listening, but we do have some listeners over in the UK. So it's kind of more solemn for them. You know, I don't think they probably don't care at all.
Probably.
Makes no difference in their life, except for they got to work tomorrow.
Yes.
But I'm sure
yes.
plenty of our listeners have to work tomorrow.
You know, that's true.
What are you going to do?
If you don't work, enjoy the holiday.
And if you do work, enjoy the holiday. Find a way to enjoy the holiday.
There you go.
All right. That's it. That's all we got. And we got training camp coming. We'll probably get on a more regular schedule, should be our plan. And that's it.
Yeah. We actually didn't even talk about that much. Maybe we'll talk about it next time. Yeah. They open camp to the fans on the 29th of July.
Yeah. So we'll get there.
Couple more weeks.
Yep. All right. That's it. That's all we got. So until next time, let's go Lions.